We will read this morning a verse from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, which you should see. Is it visible already for you? It is the Chaitanya Charitamrita Marja Lila 2, text 81. I wonder, I think because it is such nice spring, we should somehow get the spring air. So maybe we can open a door or a window. You know better than me. With your permission, I will go right into the text for time reasons. This text, amongst many, many others, explains really the essence of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's avatar in relationship to all. I always like to see on festival days in particular how we can relate today to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Here the verse is for you. By personally tasting the mellows of love of Godhead, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught his direct disciples the process. See, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is a wealthy capitalist, possessing the touchstone of love of God, not considering whether one is a proper or improper recipient. He gives his treasure to anyone and everyone. Thus he is the most munificent. So there is something, the verse says there's something in Mahaprabhu's possession, which means he makes him a super excellent proprietor. Prabhupada uses the word a capitalist who has capital. He has personally tasted this a treasure which is in his possession, and anyone who comes in contact with him, whether qualified or not, is receiving from him this treasure. Thus he is most munificent. So there's a brief purport. See, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's capital is the touchstone of love of Godhead, and consequently he's a great owner of that transcendental treasure. After making unlimited amounts of gold, the touchstone still remains the same. Similarly, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, although distributing love of Godhead unlimitedly, still remained the supreme owner of this transcendental opulence. His devotees who learned it from him also had to distribute it munificently all over the world. This Krishna consciousness movement, following in the footsteps of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his confidential devotees, is also trying to distribute love of Godhead all over the world through the chanting of the holy names of the Lord. Now there's something you know. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada, Jai Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. My dear devotees, there's a verse in the Bhagavatam which I would like to speak before I start. The verse talks about the difficult undertaking which we are going to dare to venture into. I shall try to describe to you the transcendental pastimes of the Lord as far as my knowledge is concerned. But please, please know that they are unlimited. As the birds fly in the sky, as far as their capacity allows, so do the devotees describe the Lord as far as their realization allows. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is a very, very deep subject, and I would like to bring him into your awareness through the eyes of someone who actually saw him, felt him, was gifted by him with something which is so rare that even Brahma and Shiva hanker for it but may not always get it. It's that special ecstatic love of Krishna which transforms you from an ordinary human being into an ecstatic human being. Hare Krishna. Let us look at Mahaprabhu through the eyes of Rupa Goswami. Rupa Goswami had left his home in order to become a renounced ascetic monk. He was in the company of his younger brother Vallabha, and they had spotted Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and finally they met him in Prayag, a town at the confluence of two holy rivers. So, but they didn't see him at first. What they saw was a huge crowd behaving in very ecstatic ways. There were many hundreds and thousands of persons. They were crying, and they were rolling on the ground, and they were uttering, muttering, stuttering, Krishna, 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 Krishna again. And when Rupa Goswami, he knew of course that these were the people, they were in a kirtan which Mahaprabhu, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was leading. When his eyes searched for the person who had brought about this tremendous spiritual event of thousands of people chanting, but not like us, you know, they were touched by the touchstone of Mahaprabhu. When he searched for Mahaprabhu in the crowd, he saw a tall figure. Today and in ancient times, people have a certain physical size, but Mahaprabhu was 2 meters 10. 2 meters 10. And when he was raising his arms, they were extremely long. They reached to his knees. He was like 3 meters tall. A personality you could not notice. Every limb of his beautifully shaped body was trembling in ecstasy. Not just the hands, but the arms, the entire body was dancing, and from his eyes there was a flow of tears, not a trickling of tears, but a syringe-like. Syringe means it's outwardly going. It is described, people who were next to Mahaprabhu were often drenched in his tears because the tears were shooting out of his eyes. Some of them ran down his body and drew beautiful lines into his face and the rest of the body. But some of them also came upon those who were in his kirtan. And he was loudly calling in a voice that was overpowering powering all the other the kirtan. He didn't require a microphone and a loudspeaker. It was tremendous. It is sometimes said that when he was getting into the ecstasy, his calling became as loud as the roaring of 1 million lions. And it was so loud that ordinarily it would have burst the eardrums of anyone who was close. But there was a certain energy, a loving energy emanating from him, which protected the eardrums of people so that there was no ear damage created. But it was loud. It was remarkable. It was his appearance, when he would dance, was unforgettable. But more important maybe for us, it acted like a touchstone. Prabhupada describes that the touchstone can produce unlimited amounts of gold, but it remains the same. It can create and create and create. So in this way, Mahaprabhu's presence was absolutely, how would you say this? It was electrifying. It created a similar emotion which he felt in his heart, in the hearts, and that was expressed in the body of all of those who were there. There are accounts, my dear devotees, which speak of millions of people who were in the kirtana of Mahaprabhu. They were all reached, they all, in contemporary London Harbour English, you would say, they all got it. They were displaying the same symptoms. Therefore, academics say his bhakti was electric. It was electrifying. He would sometimes be stunned, not move. Then he would start to dance. Rupa Goswami saw in the Tandava Nritya, it's a dance which is danced by Lord Shiva, and he looked like a firebrand which was on fire that is whirled very fastly in a circle, no? Especially in dusk time, in evening time. That was so beautiful to see, because there was an effulgence emanating from him. He was laughing sometimes for no apparent reason. The reason was that he saw Krishna doing a particular humorous pastime. Sometimes he was crying and called out, "Where are you? Where are you? Where are you, beloved of my heart?" And at that time, the mood changed from humor and joyousness into a deep, deep, deep ocean-like feeling of longing, yearning, hankering, all this. So Rupa Goswami sees all this from a distance with his brother. They are totally captured by the magnetic influence of Mahaprabhu, and they cannot but follow him. In other words, when Mahaprabhu ended his kirtan and went to take his lunch at the house of a brahmana in Prayag, the two brothers very shyly but very determinedly followed him. And when they came to the place, they saw Chaitanya Mahaprabhu eating his lunch. Mahaprabhu became aware of them. They tried to not be visible so much, but they were in the back. And he called them Rupa. He seemed to know their name. He was just with millions of people, and he recognized. They were not introduced to each other. Rupa, Balav, come here. Then he addressed them. Stand up. They came and they offered obeisances. He said, stand up. It is not possible to describe Krishna's mercy, because he has delivered you from a situation that is usually unescapable. He has delivered you from the dark veil of material existence. This imagery is foreign for us. We do not know it, but you must know, on fields, the farmers dig very deep wells, and if someone walks over these fields and happens to fall into the dark well, he can scream and call as much as he is able to, but no one will be able to notice or hear him. So by using this image, Mahaprabhu talks of a conditioned soul who is in the world but who can not do anything to help himself. He said, Lord Krishna, his mercy is indescribable because he has delivered you from the dark well of material enjoyment. Then he got up and embraced Chaitanya, Rupa Goswami. And when Rupa Goswami saw this mercy which had come to him, and when he felt the ecstasy, he spontaneously recited a verse which I think most of you will know, so I will chant it and you can chant it along with me. Namo Mahavandanaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gaura Dvishe Namah. It is remarkable that Srila Prabhupada has often quoted this verse when he described Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Namo Maha Vadanyaya, you are the most munificent, because you distribute Krishna Prema. Krishna Prema Pradayate, Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya, your name is Krishna Chaitanya, Namne Gora Tvishe Namaha, I offer my obeisances. I want to read to you from this very, very nice book, I'll Build You a Temple by Giriraj Maharaj, some excerpts from a lecture where Prabhupada describes Mahaprabhu. But please keep the image of the tall Mahaprabhu dancing and driving people to the highest levels of Krishna consciousness. Keep that image which Rupa Goswami saw in your mind as you listen. So, Srila Prabhupada says, it was sometimes in the year 1973, he said, one moment, first of all, we cannot understand Krishna. Wow, we cannot understand Krishna? Then what are we doing here? Prabhupada continues. Then where is the question of love for Krishna? If you do not understand somebody, how can you love him? Love is far, far away. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is so kind. Sometimes Prabhupada would cry when he would just remember the kindness. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is so kind that he is distributing Krishna Prema. Take Anyone, come on. Come on, come on. Krishna Prema Pradayate. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is very practical. I want to give Krishna Prema. One should be ecstatic and emotional in Krishna Prema. My dear devotees, if you are ecstatic, and this is an emotion, by the way, in case you are afraid of emotions, if one should be ecstatic, emotional in Krishna Prema, Maya cannot actually touch you. Prabhupada goes on to say, one should cry for Krishna. And he taught everyone by his practical example how he was mad after Krishna. And Prabhupada continues, and I will just jump over a few passages to come to a point which I think is so relevant for us. So we should be awakened. Apparently we are sleeping in Prabhupada's views. So we should be awakened. Awaken our consciousness, our Krishna consciousness, in such a way that we feel separated from Krishna, and in this way, and then we become mad after him. This is Krishna Prema, and that Prema was distributed by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and listen to this, and he is still distributing. Prabhupada made this point, which I feel is distinguishing ordinary Hinduism from a real Krishna consciousness. He makes the point that Mahaprabhu is not just a person of the past. He is now here. In another lecture, it was right in the beginning when he came to New York in 66. He said, the process which Mahaprabhu distributes is the Lord chants and he dances himself and people follow similarly. Just like this painting, the picture. The Lord is dancing and everyone is following. And that following can be continued even up to date. God is always there. Yes, the Vedas describe the appearance and the disappearance of the Lord. But Chaitanya Bhagavat says there's actually no end to his pastimes. It's like the sun. The sun now is visible in Great Britain. Finally, let's celebrate it. But even if we don't see the sun, like in the evening, the sun is always there. And you could, in theory, travel to where the sun is going next. I don't know where the sun is going next, to what countries, in the west. The point is, I don't know where Great Britain is, so I can't tell you on the landscape, on the land map. I mean, I'm now in small Britain, actually. You know, Great Britain refers to all the colonies which are now gone. So I can't tell you where small Britain is. But the sun will go on, right? Rupa Goswami, he said this, Chet Adyapi Didiksheran, and so on. He says, even now, now means at this moment, even now, if Krishna's beloved devotees develop sufficient eagerness, the ocean of mercy reveals his various pastimes to them. The acharyas give the example, fire is there in wood, and if there is an appropriate cause, that is another fire which you bring, it comes out. Or another example which the acharyas use, fire is there in a flint stone. You know these stones, you take them and you have to beat it like this, then you have to have some straw next to it, then a spark comes and then the straw catches fire, and from there you can of course have a big fire as it is required for your purposes. So the Lord becomes similarly revealed if there is a suitable cause. And can you think what could be the cause of a devotee that Krishna becomes revealed to you? What could be the cause? It was in the text. Do you wish to know? Not really, no? The cause for the Lord's appearance in the life of an individual is the eagerness which the devotee has. The devotee has no eagerness. It's almost like, yes, the flintstone is there, but the sparks don't come. So Krishna is there, but he doesn't manifest in the heart. This is Mahaprabhu's personality. He becomes manifested when there is eagerness. There is a story which I believe you have heard many times, and I will therefore only mention it briefly here. It's about Narottam Das Thakur. Well, in the evening I want to talk how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared in Narottam Das Thakur's kirtan, although he had long since then disappeared. No? But here I would like to draw our attention to another phenomena, really. Narottam Das Thakur had appeared, or was, yes, later, when Mahaprabhu had concluded his pastimes on this earth. So one day, one night, Narottam Das Thakur left his home to go down to Mother Ganga. His parents had forbidden him to take his bath in Ganga. The house was very close to the Ganga, but the parents actually organized guards so that Narottam Das would never ever see, what to speak of touch, what to speak of bathe in the Ganga, because a qualified astrologer had calculated, like Nilambha Chakravarti here, that if Narottam Das would ever see the Ganga, he would become mad in love of Godhead. Hare Krishna. So, therefore, Narottam was withheld. He was guarded. He was forbidden. But one night, Lord Nityananda appeared to him and said, "Go to the Ganga. Go now." Narottam woke up with a start. He saw the window. It was a high window. He climbed and made his escape through the window and went down to the Ganga. The moment he touched the Ganga, Ganga Devi came out with something golden. It's difficult to describe this something, so let us stay with the very general word, something. something golden. And he, Ganga Mai, gave that treasure to Narottam. And the moment Narottam received it, he changed. His bodily complexion became golden. And he felt a deep emotion of love, which he had never felt before, descending in his heart and spreading everywhere. This was the gift which Mahaprabhu had given. One of the last things which Mahaprabhu did in Navadvip is he went with Nityananda to the Ganga. Much earlier, we have to go back. A few decades. And he had come to the Ganga and he had called out, Narottam! Narottam! And Nityananda said, who's that? He is my dear devotee and I will deposit Krishna Prema for safekeeping in the Ganga. And when Narottam comes to take his bath, Ganga, you will give it to him. By this time, Ganga Devi had come in her form and said, but my lord, you are giving me something for a person who comes in a few decades. How will I recognize that this is the right address, that he is the one? Mahaprabhu chuckled and said, you will recognize my Narottam when he touches you. Your waves will be, this is an emotional, again an emotion, you know, your waves will come up, they will rise, huh? And then you know that person who makes your wave rise, that's the one. So when Narottam, a few decades later, had escaped his house and came down to the Ganga on the order of whom? You know everything. Nityananda, yes. When he came on, then he touched the Ganga, the waves came and Ganga Mai came out of her resting position. Wow, that's the one. And she took that gift which Mahaprabhu had deposited and gave it to Narottam. This happened in the river Padma. It's a side arm of the Ganga. So my question to you today is, could this happen to any one of us? Remember, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is still there. Adyapi, this word means even today. Or let me ask another question. What could be your river Padma, where the Lord has deposited the gift of love to God for all of us? It can't be the Thames, do we say the Thames? Or other rivers of small Britain? It can't be. They are polluted, they are not spiritual. What could be your Padma River, where your gift of Mahaprabhu is deposited for you? You know, when a speaker knows the answer, he feels very good of himself. So I will not torture you with various attempts because, yeah, it's already here in my... My dear devotees, there is a river of Krishna consciousness that is the holy name. Mahaprabhu would give everyone Krishna prema by inducing them to chant the holy name. That's how the gift was given then, and that is how the gift is given adyapi, or today in modern times. The chanting of the holy name. However, my dear devotees, you need to know the padati, the process of how to chant. If you continue to chant it in one way, you will continue to get the same result which you already give and get. And maybe not all of us have already gotten our treasure of love of Godhead. Most of us, including myself, are yearning for that or looking for that still. So the chanting which we do may not be done in the proper way, and that's why the prophecy is not yet working for all of us. Mahaprabhu's way of chanting was very specific. It had not much to do with melodic and rhythmic exercise, expertise, his chanting. Yes, it was melodic and rhythmic. We will hear about this evening, and we will try to just go right into a kirtan of Mahaprabhu. Let us say a description of a kirtan of Mahaprabhu from an eyewitness. But his chanting had an element which you could call in Sanskrit bhava. Bhava means inner orientation, an inner mindset, which will bring about a bhava, that is a state of being. A mood will bring out a certain state of being. It means a perceived, clearly, unmistakably, irreplaceable experience, you know. So his bhava, the mood in which he chanted and which he shared with his devotees, was that of longing. He gave the example of a drowning person who drowns in the ocean and who calls out, "Help!" Has anyone ever been in the situation of drowning in an ocean? You have been. You have been? Oh, yeah. Where?
I was on the island of Crete, in Greece, and I was a child, but I went too far and I realized that now I'm going to drown.
Yes, on the romantic island of Crete. Yes. Yes. In the you were in the city on the coast of
Goa.
On the coast of Goa, you were in the drowning situation. Yeah. His Holiness Radhanand Maharaj described to me once how he was drowning in Puri, and I was drowning in the Atlantic Ocean. Oh, my dear devotees, when I called for help, it was not lip chanting. Oh, help! It came really from a deeper place. And this is Mahaprabhu's, you know the verse better than me. Ayinanda tanuya kinkaram patitam mam vishame bhavam vadu. My Lord, I'm drowning in this ocean of material existence. I'm your servant. This is my actual position, but I'm now separated from you and I'm drowning. Please come and save me. I guess he would say it differently, the please then. Yes, this is how you chant in a deep sense of calling out for Krishna. Prabhupada also said, like a child cries for the mother. No? That's one way in which you get Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy. And there is a second way, which is very interesting. It's sharing Krishna consciousness with others. Therefore, the organizers of this festival have organized today a Harinam, I believe, in London. No? This is organized for today. Sharing Krishna consciousness with others. There is a book called the Bhakti Ratnakar, And it says about the sharing something I didn't know a few weeks, I only read it a few weeks ago. Devotion, it says, devotion or bhakti is the treasure of each devotee. It belongs to each devotee. It's his property. You have a right on bhakti, each one of you. But often, it is a hidden treasure. We know it's somewhere there. It's a potential. It could develop. And sometimes I feel during a kirtan or during a particular valuable exchange with a dear devotee that something is rising. But most of the time it's a hidden treasure. It becomes available, however, to the devotee when he or she helps another person to acquire it. Should I read the verse again to you? So it says, devotion or bhakti is the property of each devotee, but often it is a hidden property, a hidden treasure. It becomes available to the devotee only when he or she helps another person to acquire it. When you are practical, when you say, all right, I'm going to do something today to give Krishna consciousness to others, then you also feel bhakti. Let me for a moment leave the formal format of giving a lecture from an elevated seat like this one and just tell you a little personally. I have been engaged now for a long time in preaching Krishna consciousness. I'm not very good because, for instance, I don't speak good English, as you have noticed by now. I'm also not from a good background. My father was part of a lot of war crimes in the Nazi time. I'm not very learned. I ran away from school when I was 16 years. It was too boring. And never went back. There's nothing special here. A normal European with all the obstacles on his path. But somehow I feel that because Prabhupada engaged me at first in translating his books, I was learning the books in this way, something, and then in preaching, I really feel that after all these years, I'm a happy old man. Because bhakti, which is there, which is the birthright, becomes available when one tries to help others acquire it. This is a mystery. So if you may make some arrangement in your life to share Krishna consciousness with others, something. It may start in your family, that you are a little kinder to your family members and talk about Krishna and not just about spicing for sabjis and other mobile telephone, Qatar and so on. Yeah. Then it becomes available. So, I want to come to a close, but I want to now give you the Chaitanya experience. We will have Nityananda Prabhu giving us a gift of a very rare composition. It is the 12 names of Lord Nityananda. And afterwards, we will chant the 12 names of Lord Gauranga. It says, that person who recites these 12 holy names of the Lord will achieve the perfection of all their best desires and will attain pure devotion unto the divine lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya. And I presume that chanting this powerful prayer is especially rewarding, or that the Lord is reciprocates in a grand way on his Gopunim day. So would you like to chant this with me? I would have requested you anyways, even if you had... Do we have the Nityananda? Yes. So I will just give you the tune. I will chant the first line alone to just have the tune, and then we will chant we will in one go. Please sit properly. If you want, you can take a devotional posture, like, for instance, folding the hands. What we are going to do now is we are actually sincerely asking for the gift that Mahaprabhu gave to Narottam, and which is available by his mercy even today. And we will approach Lord Chaitanya through Nityananda, as this is the recommended way. Nityanando vadutendur vasudha pranavallabha. Nityanando vadutendur vasudha pranavallabha. Janavi, everyone, no, we will all together. Janavi divitapati Krishna prema prada prabhu Padma. You're not chanting, Prabhus. You're away. You want pizza or what? You're waiting. It does not show. Acha, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for my impatient nature. So what is with our man up there? Is he with us? Yes. So we need to do this together. We need to do it in one go. When we are finished with one, then we go to the next. When we are finished with that, we go to the next. And even to the next. Yes, correct. So we need to do this again. It is serious. Everyone. Nityanando vadutendu vasudha pranavallabha janavi divitapati Krishna prema pradapabhu Padmavati Sutta Sriman Shatsinandana Purvaja Bhavan Muda Jagatrata Rakta Gora Kalevara. And now Mahavachadanya Krishna Chaitanya Gorango Dvijanayaka Jatinam Dandinam Jaiva Nyasinam Chashiromani Raktam Varadarashima Navadvipasudakara Prema Bhakti Pradashaiva Shri Sakshi Nandanastata. As you are sitting in this state, and I will now guide you into a meditation about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It is said by Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur that through meditation the Lord comes into the heart. So kindly sit in a comfortable yet straight position. Bring your attention to your feet. Bring your attention to the legs, up to your sitting bones, and relax the entire lower part of your body. Bring the attention now to the lower back. To the chest. And relax. The attention goes to the chest and the tummy. And we relax. The shoulders, arms, and palms of the hand, relax. Your neck, head, and forehead, relax. Your face and all the many muscles in the face, relax. Appreciate how absolutely present you are, and at the same time how absolutely calm and relaxed. Take a few deep breaths. Inhale and exhale completely. A few times. Now meditate. I worship Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, whose beautiful hair is bound in a topknot and held together by a string of pearls. His moon-like face bears the nectar of his gentle smile. His beautiful golden body is adorned with lovely garments and anointed with sandalwood and aguru pulp. He is bedecked with garlands and various glistening ornaments. And he is absorbed in his dance, filled with ecstasy from tasting the sweetness of love for Krishna. He is more brilliant than the god of love, and he is always served by his dear devotees. I worship that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I worship him who generously distributes the treasure of love of Godhead. Kindly now take a few deep breaths like you have done before. If you have closed your eyes, it's a good time to open your eyes. Maybe to move a little bit the upper body. And return to room awareness. In this verse today, we've heard a wonderful description about Lord Chaitanya by personally tasting the mellows of love of Godhead. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught his direct disciples the process. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the wealthy owner possessing the touchstone of love of God. Not considering whether one is a proper or improper recipient, he gives his treasure to anyone and everyone. Thus, he is the most munificent. We have heard today about Rupa Goswami's meeting with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Then we had heard that the scriptures inform us that Mahaprabhu is not arrested in the past like a historic personality, but he is, since he is God, he's always with us and we can make a contact with him. We have heard two ways of making that contact, or let us say, receiving the love of Godhead. One was chanting the holy names in a certain way. Remember the example which Mahaprabhu chose, that is Ayinanda Tanuya, like someone who's in great need, like a drowning man is in great need. We have also heard that there is a blessing upon those who share Krishna consciousness with others. We have heard how it becomes accessible, this bhakti, when we help another person acquire it. And we have ended with chanting the names of Lord Nityananda and Chaitanya, and doing a Gaura meditation. I took this meditation from a guidebook. It's called the Sri Gaura Govinda Achana Smarana Padati. It's written in our tradition and so on. And I will leave you with one last thought. Just like we are painting the picture. This is Prabhupada, no? The Lord is dancing and everyone is following. And that following can be continued even up to date. God is always there. It is not that Chaitanya is not present. He's always present. And whenever there's Sankirtan, there's Kirtan by the devotees, sincere devotees, it is said that Lord Chaitanya is there, present. And then Srila Prabhupada quotes a verse, Tatra tishta minarada yatra gayanti mat bhakta. Those who are pure devotees means without any material desires. Those who are pure devotees, those who are determined to go back to Godhead, to Krishna, they are called pure devotees. So this Sankirtan movement creates pure devotees who gradually loses all interest in material enjoyment. So Prabhupada here gives us a clue. Let's do this kirtan, follow this kirtan, and gradually we will lose those desires which are harmful for us and anchor us, in the miserable material existence, and we gain. We lose one thing, and we gain the desire, determination. I must, in this life, go to Krishna. So, Hare Krishna. This is the Yogopunim lecture. I tried as best as I could. I hope it was relevant for all of you, and you could draw something out of it. If you wish to have these beautiful names which we chanted together, there is a way to obtain them. There is Sankirtan Priya and the Bhakti school, and he has them. And you might give your name, and then he will send it to you through the distraction network. Internet. I have my translations because I'm not a native English speaker. Hare Krishna. So, good. We have 10 more minutes, I see here, for questions and answers. Is there anything you would like to say to us? Yes, I see. I believe your good name is Chintamani. Have I remembered correctly? Yes. Mother of Madhava. Yes, I remember. Yes. You will obtain a microphone. It's just now coming.
First of all, I have to thank you very much, Maharaj, for a very enlightening katha. And you asked the question during your katha, so how do we access this river of mercy, this gift of Mahaprabhu? And you gave two wonderful solutions so that we can actually get this access. One was to chant the holy names, and the other is to distribute the good fortune we've been given. So I just wanted to share, if it's okay, if it's appropriate,
mm-hmm.
One additional
Bhagavatam.
Just a couple of quotes from the Bhagavatam itself, Canto 2, Chapter 2.
Mm-hmm.
Prabhupada says in one purport, he says, when we talk about Sankirtan, hearing and chanting, we don't just mean the holy names, but we also mean hearing and discussing books like Gita and Bhagavatam. And then a few verses on from that, in text 35, Prabhupada says, without hearing sufficiently and properly, one cannot achieve success by any of the other processes of bhakti. So I just wanted to add that sometimes we can be practicing that, both, you know, chanting and going out preaching for many years, and we're still not getting it. And I just thought I'd just add that maybe it's we need to increase the sufficiency and the properness of how we hear and discuss Gita and Bhagavatam to complete.
Mm-hmm.
Complete the connection.
Wonderful. Thank you very much. This is very relevant. There is one, what Chintamani has told is one of the very essential teachings. It is said by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, like that Krishna is always together with his Swarup Shakti. So the holy name, Swarup Shakti means Radharani. So the holy name, who is Krishna, also has to have his Swarup Shakti. And that Swarup Shakti, which is Krishna Katha, and for us Gaudiyas, it is mainly the Bhagavatam. When you look into Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's practice of Krishna consciousness, or he would always have these two things. It was everything he did was based on the Amalam Puranam, the Bhagavatam, and in the Chaitanya tradition, the Bhagavatam is quoted as the fundamental praman, or proof of transcendental knowledge. Now, we have seen that really what Chintamani, she quoted the beautiful quote that all the other processes can only be completed or successful by hearing about Krishna sufficiently. And that is true, because in the mind of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, it is my favorite subject, so I will make it brief. But in the mind of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, the chanting will only work if there is sambandha, a relationship, an understanding of a relationship. And that understanding, how I'm relating to Krishna, how he is my master, how I am his servant, that is given in the Bhagavatam, no? That is, if you, Bhaktivinoda Thakur goes so far to say that if you chant without knowing this sambandha, this relationship, you have only the shadow of the holy name. Think about the shadow of a pizza. It does not nourish you. And you will go to some other house. If you go to the one house and the host says, today, you know, there are four guests, but in a poor man's house, I've baked one pizza, but I have a lamp here, and I will produce the shadow. So the three of you, you eat the shadow today. You will be nourished, not nourished, you will go to another house to eat. So, in the same way, the chanting cannot be shadow chanting, nor any other process in devotional service, if you want to be nourished. And the nourishment really comes when you understand Krishna, my dear Lord Krishna, for so many long years I have totally ignored you, but today I'm turning to you as your sincere and serious servant. I mean it, what I say. Please accept me. Now this is very, very good, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It's very nice. It belongs also in this lecture. Yes, yes. Thank you. Thank you. Is there another of you who wishes to ask, contribute in any way? I saw your good hand, or no longer. It is answered. Good. I'm looking at you, and you are looking at me. Hare Krishna. Good, then I thank you very, very much. It was a genuine honor, really, to try to share this. And if you forget everything of this lecture, which most of you will, I have statistics, I've made research. You know, we are from another country, so we do these things. Please remember one thing. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is there, and you can make a real contact with him. And this is done through the chanting of the holy name, so hearing about Krishna, from the regular study of the Bhagavatam is ideal, and also by making a plan to share Krishna consciousness with others. Already we do so well here in England. Whoa! This is a paradise of preaching. There's so many good initiatives going on. And please, individually, on your own, see where you can help, in what program or in what capacity you can help. Thank you very much, and wish you the best Gopinama ever. spend a few times by yourself, on your own, praying to the deities, no? Have a few moments with Krishna or with Lord Chaitanya. We have big festivals here, many people come, which is ideal, which is good, but we must take care as visitors of the temple that we always have our moments with Mahaprabhu, with Krishna, because bhakti is all about sambandha, creating a relationship with the Lord. Then abhideya will work and then you will get prayojana. Good. Here's our devotee, Hare Krishna, Hare Bo. Hare Krishna.